And you can have a little look up there, which I'm hoping that we'll be able to get this onto the church website as a PDF as well to go along with the sermon series that we've been doing about Created to Relate, looking at the spiritual pathways. These are the 9 spiritual pathways that we as a church are looking at. Other churches look at them in slightly different ways, might call them different names. But this is what we've chosen. I know with some people it's relational or worship. I think there's a cultural one. I think when people go to other countries, I think they experience something of God in a new way, in a fresh way. I think there's a cultural one. Maybe I've created that one. That's fantastic, isn't it? If you want to have a look at that. And what we have been doing is just having a look at some of these. And I'm going to be touching on one or two of these today and talking about ones that I am into and ones that I'm not into and need to be. But we're going to be looking at that. So that's going to be going on, hopefully, on the church website at one at some point. But this is a part of a series, and this is the last sermon in the series, Created to Relate. And the title for my talk today is Dive In. Dive In. And we're going to watch, in a few moments' time, a YouTube clip that we've seen a few times before, which I absolutely love. And there's 2 reasons that we're watching it. One, because it fits in with the talk today. And then there's another reason as well. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19 says this. Now, Sam quoted this last week. Now, devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. And then turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord, as we've been doing this morning, with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. How good is that? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations, and that includes our generations. And then turn to John 17, which is what part of the high priestly prayer of Jesus, as it's sometimes called. And it's an amazing few chapters. But John 17, verse 24 to 26, Jesus is praying to God the Father. And he says this, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And then finally, Ephesians, I think one of the most amazing books ever written in the world. Ephesians, astounding letter. Look at me Bible. Look what I've done to me Bible. Look at that. Ephesians, tell you what. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Wow. Everybody go, wow. I'm a primary school teacher. Wow. Let's do that. Let's pray. Almighty God, it is so good. Your word is so good, because it shows us truths that cannot be argued against. And Lord, as we've been tearing down lies, we want this morning, right now, to build up truth in our hearts. We want to establish truth in our minds. We want to live out truth in our days. We want to be, Lord, in our character, in our personality, in who we are, an embodiment of the truth of your word, that you have set us free, and that we can boldly, with confidence, approach you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Wow, I don't think you'd leave it there. I think I've peaked. Right, okay. I love swimming in the sea. It's one of my favourite things of all time. I love the summer. Ruth knows this, she's seen me. I love the summer when you just stand there in your trunks, obviously, and the seas come up to there. And in our country, the sea never gets warm. See there, and it's like slightly cold. You think, what am I doing? And you stand there, And there's the waves there, and you can hear all that. You can hear the seagulls, and you can hear the waves, and you hear the people on the beach doing their thing. And you're staring at the sea. I'm going to go in. And you're there. And then I just love that moment when you're about to go in. And this is freezing, but I'm going to go in. And you dive in. And the moment when you dive in and you go under, and I actually open my eyes in the sea, and it's probably not a good idea, and this is amazing, I've still got my eyesight, but you can open your eyes, and you dive under, and you start through the murk, you can see a bit of a seaweed, maybe a crab or two, and you're just like diving away, and you get into there, and you're in a world, and nobody can see you. It's a world of solitude and silence. And what sometimes strikes me is I'm diving into this ocean. And if I had the capacity in my lungs, I could keep swimming and never get to the end of it. And there's things to see that nobody else can see. And I come up again, and I'm a different person, aren't I? I'm a different person when I come up. And the title of today's talk is Dive In, and we've been exploring these 9 spiritual pathways. We've not been doing it systematically one by one, but each speaker has been mentioning the importance of seeking after God, of the impact that our circumstances, our personalities, our character can have on the way that we seek after God. And that for every single one of us, there may be a slightly different pathway. And I would say that the pathway and the walk that we take also impacts our character and our personality and our circumstances. I think it's a two-way thing. But when we seek after God and when we follow our pathway, it transforms us. I can remember in Cornwall, I can remember diving into the sea, and that was a little bit too cold. I can remember thinking, this is really cold, but everybody's looking at me now, so I can't walk away. And I remember diving into that sea and everything shrinking. I can remember that. Just when you think things couldn't get any smaller, you dive in, and I could hear my skull crack slightly as I dived into the. And I thought, I'm not sure this is good for me. And I dived in. And so there was a physical transformation that took place. But do you know what? I come out refreshed when I've been in the sea. You know, you go up and I'm a different person altogether. And that's what God wants for us. As we dive into our pathways, as we explore him, as we become fully alive to the living God, what he wants is for us to become more of who he created us to be. So that when we go into that workplace, and so that when we go into our families, and when we go into those situations, we are people who have been transformed, not by ourselves, not by the mindfulness, which nothing against mindfulness, but not about the yoga that we've been doing that more, nothing against, I'm not going to go down that route, but by the presence of the living God, we've been transformed by diving into him. We've even got ourselves into skull-shrinking experiences and been transformed. This is actually the last sermon in our series, Created to Relate, but it's not the end of our exploring. And I want to challenge us, as I'm challenging myself, to take it further and to go deeper, to dive in over the next few months, as Sam said last week, over our lifetime, into the joy of seeking after God. So Andrew's going to be emailing some information out to everybody. So if you haven't got your email, could you let Chris, who's sat there, if you want that information about how, pardon? I know, or speak to Chris, and give Chris your email so you can go on the I Know. So we need that email, and everybody needs to go on I Know. Do you know what I Know is?
No.
You do know. Now you know what I Know is, because Andrew's going to put on there a questionnaire to discover for yourself, as a small group, we've been looking at this, where do I fit into all of this? Because we have these lists up every week, and sometimes it can be quite hard to understand exactly what it's all about. So that will be some really useful information that I'd like people to explore over the summer and over these next few weeks. The pathways are a way of acknowledging that everyone comes to God in a different way. And I love that. And I've been a Christian for nearly 50 years now. And I kind of think, wow, that's quite a transforming. You know, you chase after trying to find the next great person who, how do they get to God? And that's okay. And read a book about, I want to be like them and try and live your life like Rhys Howells, intercessor. I'm going to get in a little shed down the bottom of the garden. And it doesn't work for everybody because we're all different. We come in different ways. And there's a different pathway for every believer. And we have different pathways at different times of the year. My pathway right now in June, when I'm writing 200 score reports, is different from when I'm on the beach in August. I have a slightly different pathway. I come to God in a slightly different way. There might be different seasons of your life. It might be a time of grieving for you. It might be a time of celebration. It might be a time of expectancy, as it is with Priyanka and Andrew at the moment. It might be a time of anticipation. But whatever season you're in your life, there is a pathway that will be suitable for you, whatever time of the day it is. My pathway, first thing in the morning, is very different from my pathway last thing at night. In the morning, I get up quite early, and I read the Word of God, because otherwise I'll fall asleep. So I read that. So I get open the Word of God. And at the moment, I'm in Psalms, and what I felt the Spirit telling me to do is just highlight all the bits in the Psalms that describe God. And you know, when you're facing stuff at work, it can be tough. But when you've read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" I tell you what, I don't need to seek people's approval anymore, or I'm not scared of their disapproval. Because my God loves me, and He is for me. He's my shield, He's my rock, He's my refuge. I mean, that's there, the Psalms. I mean, just start highlighting those bits and get yourself built up. And I do that first thing, and then I get in the car, and my head is always buzzing with stuff. You know, those parents who want to come and complain about things. Those children I've got to talk to. Those reports the governors want. I've tried, but I can't stop. So I stick a worship CD on. Because, you know, I'm a little bit of an enthusiast there, one. The celebration, the worship. I love worship. You might see me jumping up and down here. And I'm quite an introvert, actually. But I just love going for it in worship, because I feel that's a safe place for me. And so in the morning, I'll put the CD on in the car as I'm going in. And even if I'm talking about stuff in the background, I've got a whole choir singing away. I've got people singing away. And it's great. It does me good. And then during the daytime, I'll try and get hold of this. During the daytime, you know what it's like when you're at work. I mean, most of you experience that, or family, or whatever you're doing, and things just get overwhelming. And in my pocket, this is what I do from time to time, I have a stone, a pebble. Okay, this is probably going more down the traditionalist, you know, rituals and symbols, but God has spoken to me through pebbles before. He said, "I want to smooth move or remove whatever in your life it is that needs to be done." And so what I do is, if I put that in my pocket and I'm just there telling somebody off or whatever I'm doing, and then it's just that it reminds me that God is with me. It's a tangible recall for me that God is with me. Some people wear crosses, but that for me really works. And then as I'm going across the playground, I'll give thanks to God for my job. Because do you know what? The enemy wants us to curse the things that God has blessed us with. He wants us to see things in the most negative way possible. And so, and then at the end of the day, I get home, and that's when the silence and solitude kick in. That's the ascetic pathway. That's where I need to get away. And what I do is, I'll often run myself a bath, and I'll just get in that bath. And there's a lock on the bathroom door. I love that lock. Don't you love the lock on the bathroom door? Thank you, Lord, for the lock on the bathroom door. And I just fill it up, and I just I'll have a shower, or just get up into the bedroom, or I'll disappear somewhere. And I'll just soak myself in God just for a moment or two and become normal again. And then maybe before bed, I might read the scriptures. Or I sound very holy, don't I? I do other things as well. But I'm talking about a good day. All right, this is a good day. So there's a different path for every single believer. And whatever path we're on at the moment, there are four things that we need to do. Regardless of what path, there are four things I felt God was saying we need to do. Okay, so get ready with your notepads. So the first one that you need to do is give thanks. Whatever pathway you're going on, always start at giving thanks. I remember going for walks in the Lake District with my Grace, who's now 14, as you know, some of you know. And I remember we used to go, and she would shoot off. She'd be running on this pathway. We were trying to keep up with her, you know, and we were getting a bit old by that point. And we were chased, and she was like running, and she's not stopped running since. She does athletics now, and she's like amazing. Whereas Ellen used to hate walking. It's like, "Oh, I'm not walking up that hill," were her words. You know, sometimes how do we walk our pathway? I want to walk it with thanks in my heart. Enter His courts with thanksgiving in our heart. So give thanks. Say, "Thank you, Lord God, that I'm going into school this morning to make a difference again in people's lives. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm coming this morning to worship you this morning." Not We can grumble along the pathway, or we can rejoice along the pathway. Whatever pathway you're taking, God wants us to do it with thanks. Now, I'm amazed at Luke 22, when Jesus gave thanks as he broke the bread, because he knew what that meant. It astounded me this morning. I think, when did Jesus give thanks? He gave thanks just before he recreated the moment when he would be torn apart. He says he gave thanks. Gave thanks when he passed the cup around, and he knew what that meant. In every circumstance, in every pathway, let's give thanks to him. And the second thing is this. Be led by the Holy Spirit. I know this is like 101 for some of you, but be led by the Holy Spirit. Luke 4, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, into the place of silence and solitude. It was a place not of weakness, but of power. And he was led by the Spirit into that place. Just right now, just the Holy Spirit wants to lead you as you're in this pathway that you're on right now, this intellectual pathway where we're looking at the Word of God. Just breathe the Holy Spirit in. With the next breath you take in, say, Holy Spirit, I take you in. And he's living within us already, but it's just so good to acknowledge that by our breath. You might want to open out your hands, or, you know, the song I hate most in the world is that Frank Sinatra song. Oh, I did it my way. What an admission of failure that is. Yeah. I did it my way. I don't want to get to heaven and God says you did it your way.
No.
Well, I love what Tom said this week. It's not I did it my way, I did it your way. I love that. I did it Yahweh. I did it Yahweh. So whenever somebody starts singing that, that's what I'm going to start singing. I love it. Be led by the... thanks, Tom, for that. It's going to keep me going all year. So we need to give thanks to God. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit as Jesus was. The third thing is you need to root yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God, as we did at the beginning, we need to soak ourselves in the Word of God. I would recommend that you start the day with the Word of God, and I would recommend that you memorize Scripture so that when you're in the shower, you're not getting your Bible wet, but you can actually quote it. You can actually think, wow, okay, it doesn't matter if it's just the one that you have for the rest of your life, but it just does you good. Just root yourself in the Word of God. And wherever Jesus went, we don't see massive expositions of the Torah from Jesus, but we do see him applying the Word of God. Yeah. We see him standing there on the Sermon on the Mount, and we see him, the Word of God was in his heart so much that he could just speak it out and apply it into people's lives, into his life. And everything he did was rooted in his understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God, of the Torah.
Yeah.
We need to be rooted in the Word of God. And the fourth thing is this, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Have an open and listening heart. Whatever pathway you're on, give thanks. Be led by the Spirit. Be rooted in the Word of God and have a listening, an open heart. And it says in Ephesians 1, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow, learn that for the shower. That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to learn that one. That's great. Sam referred last week in Psalm 139 to our God, this God who searches our heart and knows us and reveals our heart to us, to have an open and listening heart. Let's not be so arrogant that we think just because we've been a Christian for nearly 50 years, we know it all. And as I've looked at these pathways up here, I probably relate to a lot of them at different points in my life. And I'm about to say some heresy now. Are you ready? Where's Andrew? Because he likes to spot my heresies. I'm about to do a heresy now. And some of you are going to hate me after I say this. But please, okay, I realize I'm wrong. But I don't find nature that interesting. My mum's listening to this. That is very dangerous. I grew up in the countryside. I love the city. I love loud music. I love people and noise. Even though I'm an introvert, I love going into a city and being surrounded by people. But nature is like one tree. Kind of looks like another tree to me. It's like the grass. Once you've sown one blade of grass, you've seen them all, haven't you? Really. And so, but I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. And so, I realized that I just want to explore every single pathway. I want to get down every pathway because I want to become fully alive to God. So I said to Adrian, what is it about nature? See, I do see the attraction of nature. I do like walking in it. I just can't connect that with God so well. I know it's a stupid thing I have in my head. So I was talking to Adrian about it. And Adrian began to describe how she relates God and nature. And I can't begin to explain it the way that Adrian did. So you need to ask her afterwards. My eyes began to open. And I kind of thought, right. So the way that Adrian sees nature is more in terms of that oneness with God, and the way that this creator and this creation are like one together, and that impacts her. There's a resonance, like deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. And there's a resonance that happens there when she's in nature. And then I went to small group and I confessed my confession. And then Karen was talking to me about how excited she gets about how clever God is, how amazing God is with the intricacy of nature and all the amazing things. And I started to catch hold of not just the idea, but the passion and the enthusiasm. So what I would say to you is this: talk to each other about what's your pathway. I don't get the activist one, loving God through confrontation. Who does? Who does? So let's speak to somebody who does, and let's find out, because I'm going to explore every pathway over these next few months. I'm going to get into God in every possible way I can. So the one I do really get is the sensate one. I love that one. I love the sensate one. So I'm going to walk that natural. I'm going to walk that path, and there'll come a point at small group when I get excited about a little baby duckling and about whatever it is. But I love the sensate. I'm a very sensory person, as you might have told from the story about the sea. I'm very sensory, and I love Walker Art Gallery in Liverpool. Has anybody been to the Walker Art Gallery? It's an absolutely amazing place. I love standing in front of some of those pictures. Now, some of you won't know what I'm talking about, but for me, there's a painting there. And I don't know who it's by. It's called Elijah in the Wilderness. And in that painting, you see the angst on Elijah, and there's the ministering angel next to him. If you stand in front of that and say, Holy Spirit, lead me, you've got all that scripture in your head. You open up your heart and God begins to reveal that event to you, that scripture. That artist has captured something there that in my imagination I couldn't. Or there's a triptych, which is like a watercolor, and it's from the 1400s, and it's there in the Walker Art Gallery, and it's of the crucifixion of Jesus, of him. And the triptych is basically like it opens up like that, and you've got three pictures. And the first watercolor is of Jesus being led to the cross. The second one is of Jesus on the cross. The third one is of Jesus being taken down from the cross, being surrounded by the crowds. And as you stand there and you look at it, suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to open up what it was that Jesus did. Do you know what? I love relating to God. I feel closer to God after that. And if you've been to Liverpool Cathedral and seen the stained glass window there, I love stained glass windows. You know, some of you may think, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Mike, but have a go. Just go to the Walker Art Gallery at some point. We maybe should have a church trip. And just stand in front of one of those. Caravaggio, get one of those going. I mean, they're amazing. We went to the Chicago Art Institute. It's an amazing place to be. Music, as you know, I absolutely love music. I love United Pursuit. I don't know anybody into United Pursuit. I love United Pursuit. But I also love Hildegard of Bingen. YouTube, Hildegard of Bingen. She's great. She wrote music in the 1100s. And it's one of, if you want to be calm, if you want to calm yourself into God's presence, get into Hildegard of Bingen. Amazing woman of God who was a composer, and it was like Gregorian chant type. If you like Gregorian chant, you'll be love her. She's absolutely brilliant. And there's just so much amazing music. I also love John Coltrane, if anybody knows who he is. So there's just so much. I just love the noise. I love the dissonance. I love music that clashes and assaults me. And it draws me to God. Okay, you may be different. I don't quite get the taste one yet, but I'll get that one. I do like food. But sensate, the ascetic one, you know, that's the one that I came out of on the questionnaire that we did for the ascetic. I love the description of this. To be silent so that that large interior world becomes like a cathedral that worships the living God. To get into a place of silence and solitude so this large interior world becomes a cathedral in which God is worshipped and we can silence the thousands of demands for our attention. As Mother Teresa said, to listen to God listening to us. To listen to God listening to us. And I love solitude in the middle of the Trafford Centre, because all of these hundreds of people who don't know me and aren't engaging with me and don't want any demand from me, but they are the most beautiful pinnacle of God's creation, and I'm surrounded by them, and I can be just in the place where God is, solitary in a good way, and silent before him. So just find your way. We're gonna watch our YouTube clip now, and it's a guy called Stephen Curtis Chapman, which Dave has used before. I think other people might have done as well. And it's quite an old song, but it's an amazing song, and it fits in with the theme. So we're going to watch this. So thanks very much, Tom. And it's called Dive In. It's just 4 minutes long. Make you want to dive into God. Yeah. I just absolutely love that song. To become closer, to become more aware, to become fully alive to God. In May 2008, Stephen Curtis Chapman and his family faced a huge tragedy when his daughter Maria, who had been adopted as a little girl from an orphanage in China, was running towards the car that Stephen Curtis Chapman's older son was driving and was hit. And they took her to hospital, and she was pronounced dead on arrival. And Stephen Curtis Chapman went to the hospital and he shut the door and he prayed for resurrection for his daughter, as I would, as you would, until his wife came in and stopped him and said, she's with Jesus. How do you get through that? Because we can be airy-fairy about our pathways and our walk to God and our, you know, spending time with him. The question I asked God was how, because I was thinking about my sermon, and I thought, oh no, I'll play that dive, and then I scroll down like you do on Google, and I just saw this title, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Tragedy Hits Family, and I thought, what's that about? This man that I've chosen to sing this morning has gone through that. And afterwards, Stephen Curtis Chapman said this, we didn't know how we're going to take the next breath. I'd go to where nobody could hear me and scream until my voice was almost gone. It sure didn't and still doesn't make sense, but I never felt like God had abandoned us. Mary Beth, his wife, could hardly believe the thousands of people who reached out. Will Franklin Chapman and his brother Caleb Chapman have formed a band, Colony House, and grief over loss of their sister shows up in the song, Won't Give Up. Stephen Curtis Chapman also has penned several songs about Maria. He and his wife also have found some solace in several organizations and efforts created in Maria's memory to help Chinese children with special needs. Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman are extraordinarily grateful for all the support. Sometimes, though, it's not enough. They say, we see those amazing things, and yet we still carry the sadness and the grief, he said. It's a completely unfixable, broken beyond repair situation until heaven. And in heaven, and only in heaven, will this make sense? And in 2016, Stephen Curtis Chapman released a worship album with the song called We Believe. And the words are, and we may get time to listen to it. The heavens declare your glory. The skies sing the work of your hands. Day after day, they call out and say, believe. The oceans are telling your story over and over again. Wave after wave, they call out and say, believe. And if our faith is weak, God, help our unbelief. You are faithful. God, you are faithful. And if our faith is weak, God, help our unbelief. You have been faithful. You will be faithful. Do you say, come? So here we are, lifting up our hands and our hearts to worship you and tell you we believe. And in answer to the question, how did they get through? I felt that God said to me they had a well-trodden pathway. A pathway that helped them through and still does to get to God. They had a well-trodden pathway. And the man who sang that song out of a well-trodden pathway. Before Jesus started his ministry to the poor and the sick and the sinful, he had a well-trodden pathway to the Father, which enabled him to face the persecution, the mocking, and the crucifixion. And without the well-trodden pathway to God, we end up with a well-trodden pathway to despair, disappointment, and cynicism, and resentment, and fear. And I say, dive into God. And I say, tread the path. Whatever path it is, tread it. And tread it daily, and tread it regularly, and keep treading it until you have a pathway to the living God. So he is there, he is there, he is there. And then find new pathways and fresh pathways and ask other people about their pathways. And Psalm 73, we'll finish with this. Psalm 73 says this, verse 23. Psalm 73, verse 23 is an amazing psalm. Read the whole of it. Because verse 2 says this. The psalmist says, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. And then in verse 23 says, yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We're going to pray, and then after we've prayed, I'm going to ask Tom if we can put on that We Believe song as the kids come back in. Let's pray. Father, we open up our hearts right now to receive an anointing into our pathways. We ask, Lord God, that those pathways that are well-trodden by us, that we wouldn't get bored with them, but we would find fresh ways of joyfully walking those pathways. And those pathways that we've not yet explored, I pray that we would machete our way through, Lord God, the overgrown areas of our lives, that we may discover more of you, that we become fully alive and transformed by the living God. Not just so we can get through stuff, but so that we can find joy in you, so that we can experience all that you have for us, and therefore to flow out from you all that which you want for those around us. Almighty God, I pray for an anointing on this congregation of people, those listening on the podcast, that you would, Lord, bring a fresh revelation of you as we freely, with confidence, enter into and approach your throne. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Tom is now going to play this song. He's looking a lot older here because that was a long time ago. That song was probably written sort of maybe 90s. So if you've got anybody in the crash, if you want to go and get them, that would be great. And